Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Podcast show. Hey, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation Podcast Show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton.
Hey.
I like how we just wave now. We don't actually talk, we just wave.
I forgot I was supposed to talk.
Yeah, it's kind of how this works. And that's Josh Brown.
Hello.
Hello. What are you drinking, JT?
This is a wet candidate. It is a pre-prohibition pilsner. A wet candidate was someone who ran on the platform of repealing prohibition back in the Dizay.
Seems appropriate. Seems appropriate at this time of year.
Yeah, but there's not too many. I wouldn't describe Joe Biden or Donald Trump as necessarily wet. Or would I want them to be wet in any way? That seems weird.
I'm going to skirt that topic very carefully and move along
you
with the show.
Probably should. Although they're both really old men, so I'm guessing a lot of times they have wet
gold
farts.
Bond. Yeah, gold bond. A little need to go to the bathroom quite frequently.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
They might accidentally sneeze and become a wet candidate.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Joe's also a little getting a little wet in the head too. Like he's just a little bit woo, you know. I'm really curious to see what Democrats do in the next few months because they're really not going to run Joe Biden against Donald Trump, are they?
No, they just released murder hornets, so that's their plan right now.
I got you. Yeah, speaking of murder hornets, guys. I've had those giant Japanese hornets have been in the South for years. Like, they released articles saying, first appearance of murder hornets, Japanese giant hornet in America. And I'm like, dude, I had a whole hive of those in the tree across from my house the whole time I was growing up as a kid. Like, what are they talking about?
I don't know. But about Biden, they're going to run Biden, guys.
You think so?
This is how they think, and this is real talk. And once you realize this, you'll stop like arguing with them, and you're just like whatever. And you'll crack a beer, and you'll just kind of like JT. Like JT's like whatever. Like I'm just gonna have a good time. I'm finally there. I think where JT is like mentally and emotionally, but it's taken me a while. And to get there, I realized that people on the left. They want Trump out of office, like, literally no matter what. So it doesn't matter if it's Biden or this, like, Georgia Tech cup that I bought at a – or that I got from a Georgia Tech basketball game. Like, this Georgia Tech basketball cup right here with Josh Pastner could run for the Democratic Party.
And they'd vote for him.
And they would vote for him. Right.
Yeah.
So they don't – so, yeah. Like, to answer your Biden question, everybody's like – every Republican I know is like, are they really going to run Biden? I'm like, they don't give a shit. Like, they don't care. They hate Trump so
well, yeah,
much.
I saw a tweet this week from a actual lawyer that said, Tara Reid, I believe you, but I'm still going to vote for Joe. And I'm like, so you believe he raped a woman and you're still going to vote for him for president. Way to go, Democrats.
Awesome.
Like, you know, if you were the type that you didn't care, like, you were just like, yeah, I don't really care about all that past. It happened 30 years ago. I might be okay, you know. But then you just came after Brett Kavanaugh for Supreme Court. Like, oh, my God, this guy did this thing. It's the end of the world. We must believe all women. You can't elect this guy. You know, it's total
first
hackery.
Off, I don't think we should ever believe women about anything. my understanding is they're wrong most of the time. Not that they're liars, they're just wrong and they're wishy-washy people. It's one of the many defects of their kind. They can't even figure out where they want to eat dinner at. So, you know, it's insane. But no, it is crazy how the flip-flop on the left, between Brett Kavanaugh, golly, that was 2 years ago already almost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like, the circle, like Alyssa Milano had that op-ed and she is trying to do mental gymnastics to justify her current stance about why she still believes the woman, but, you know, it should be vetted and the man should have his day in court and a chance
Of course he should. That's what we've said all along, you idiots.
Exactly, yes.
So 2 weeks ago, all my friends on the left, I'm picking at my friend Mary Catherine right now. She's my buddy. But 2 weeks ago, her and like everybody else on the left are, remember they were like, Trump literally just said we should inject Lysol into our veins. And it's like, he didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say that. And okay, so 2 weeks later, this weekend, I Facebooked about it. I pointed out that about the Kavanaugh hypocrisy or whatever, right? And Mary Catherine was like, well, the whole believe all women thing wasn't meant to be taken literally. It just means to...
It was 100% meant to be taken
and
all literally.
I'm like, I thought everything is literal like 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Yeah.
Right. The scary thing about that is what if some girl comes up to you and says, Ken Hendricks raped me once and you're supposed to believe all women? Like, you can't just make blind accusations about people without, like, and I don't know what Joe Biden did. I don't know what Brett Kavanaugh did. I don't really care. The thing is, you can't just make accusations about people. Like, you know, if you say Josh Brown murdered my family, or I've made accusations that John Howard killed my dog. Well, John Howard maybe deserves his day in court where he can say his side of the story and that he didn't kill my dog. I think he did, but maybe he says he didn't. That's kind of how the American justice system is based.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, I believe somebody because of the way they look. And that's essentially what you're saying. Just because you're a woman, we have to take it 100%. You know, like that's kind of crazy. Like you have to if you bring accusations, yeah, there is evidence and that's kind of the way things go.
And let's be 100% honest here. Josh is like, while Josh actively trolls leftists, Josh is far from a conservative. Like, there's about you, like, Josh.
Josh
that's
be a
conservative in any way.
Josh should be a leftist in 4 years. Just give it time.
That's probably true. That's probably true. Like, if Obama ran today, Josh would be like, "I'm back on the board, baby." You know, like, you know that. But
that's not true.
It's sort of
that's
true.
Not true,
but it's sort of true.
That's not true,
but that's like if Georgia fired Kirby Smart today, Josh would be back to being an Alabama fan tomorrow.
No, it's a little bit different. With sports, I'll admit that I am a flippant moron. I don't really give a shit, but I actually do care about politics a little bit and like the culture wars going on. And I really was. I would be a liberal. The only thing I'm not a liberal on, I guess, which is weird to me, because it shouldn't even be like a thing, but it is. But abortion, like I'm anti-abortion. To me, it like makes no sense. It's like, why are we even talking about that? Why is that even like legal? You know?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's weird. It's weird to talk about.
It's normal. Yeah.
And I
understand if
close...
it's health for if there's true health issues.
Sure.
That's a different
and
story.
I've got close people in my life who have had one, and so I don't talk about it lightly, but. For the most part, I'm pretty liberal. I'm not religious. I'm a liberal guy. But that's also why I like
hang
Trump.
Out at like independent coffee shops and breweries. You do all the things that like liberals in the mountains do.
But you live in the most tranny infested city in North Carolina. Infested is not
even,
the right word, but
Asheville's a little worse.
There's trannies coming everywhere.
I mean it. But like, I didn't leave. Like, I didn't leave the left, and this sounds cliche, but I didn't leave the left. The left went so far out of their minds. I mean, really, dude, and the irony of it to me is like, and I don't tweet these things because I don't want to get shamed for 3 days, you know, and I don't.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
You don't want to deal with your mentions. That's the reason.
The podcast is like
my outlet.
That's part
of why I don't ever talk politics
on Twitter. The irony of it is like Trump. To me, Trump is a liberal guy. Like, he's a fucking liberal. If you think Trump's like this born again Christian, you're out of your mind. He's a liberal guy, and he.
Well, hang on now. For the record, there's lots of liberals that are Christians, Josh. I mean, that's not like a prerequisite of being.
That's true.
Christianity is not a right religion.
That's part of my problem.
Jesus was a radical liberal for his day.
That's part of my conundrum here. Is because like when I say my opinions about these things, people, because there's just we live in this like black and white world. Yeah. People just put me into this like, you know, far like
psycho conservative, like Glenn Beck,
like Mike Huckabee. Like, I'm like, no, I don't think that way. I just don't think that Trump's this the worst guy ever, you know? And like, I think that, you know, well, America's 80, cool.
90% of the world is a gray area in the middle. You know what I mean? There's 10% of the world that I'm sure of. And the rest of it is all.
Well, let me be,
you know, it's,
let me take it a step further, JT. The 10% of the world you think you're sure of, you're really not. Like, at the end of the day, in the right situation, things would be different. And that's the problem with knowledge is, like, and it's the problem with most of our political beliefs and even religious beliefs, is we get in this place where we think we have it all figured out and we know, like, this is the way it should always be.
Right.
But God doesn't, like, even if we're talking from a religious perspective, I don't think God looks at every situation and says, you know, thou shalt not murder. Like, that's the way we interpret what happened in the Old Testament, right? But then God, you also see him say, hey, go kill all the Philistines. You know,
and
like,
I will lay them out for you. All you got to do is show up.
Exactly.
And I will smash them. Like, this is your record, land, you take it.
For the record, the Ten Commandments was like a hyper abbreviated version Moses made of what supposedly God told him on the mountain because Moses got mad and broke the original set. We kind of suck as humans at being able to figure out morality and not make it like in stone. Literally,
the Bible is
like,
littered with
stone.
Stories about how we suck in general. Yeah. I guess what I mean is there's 10% of the world that I'm not budging on. You know,
no,
like,
right, exactly.
I'm not converting to another religion. I'm not going to become a Hindu. I'm not going to become a Buddhist. I'm always going to steadfastly believe in the fact that Hideo Nomo robbed Chipper Jones of the world of the National League Rookie of the Year in 1995. Kent Herbeck pulled Ron Gant off the base. And that I believe in God and Jesus being the Son of God. That's like the 10% that I'm going to be locked into the rest of my life.
Also, that Greg Maddux was the greatest pitcher of all time. Yeah.
Yes, and the rest of 90% of it, I could be convinced of other things. You know what I mean? Like, you could, you know. And so that's why whenever I meet somebody that's steadfastly one way instead, you know, I'm always kind of wary of that because I'm like, you know, look, I'm anti-abortion. Like, I would not get an abortion. You know, when we had Amelia, we weren't married yet. And so we had decisions to make as far as, okay, what are we going to do? Me and my girlfriend now are having a baby. Personally, I was like, you know, abortion's not my thing. That's not even on the table for me. Does that mean I can tell other people that they shouldn't have an abortion? I'd like it to be that way, but I don't know if we can make our laws based on the morality that I subscribe to. You know, so, you know, 90% of the world to me is kind of this gray area.
Well, law-based morality only works to a very limited extent anyway. Sure. It's basically, let's figure out exactly how we can break the law in every way absolutely possible without actually breaking the law. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way us humans are. I mean, talking about that, let's look at the, like, stay-at-home orders. Josh, we've thoroughly enjoyed this. This week, several different police departments and governors and different things put out, they put out some things saying, hey, if you see someone not social distancing properly, please call this hotline number and report them. If you see a restaurant that's not social distancing properly, let us know so that we can shut them down. Right? So, you know, God forbid anyone listening actually participating doing this because it's not funny, people. It's not funny. But, you know, it did appear that some Americans thought that this was a little unconstitutional, a little un-American to snitch on your, you know, local community this way. So they took those hotlines and they reported plenty of people that don't exist. And they reported so many of them that all of those hotlines have now been shut down.
God
because
bless America.
America rocks and may we never ever
let
government run us. May we always run the government.
For all those people that missed the thrill and excitement of being a hall monitor in high school, now they have their chance to rat on people for having a good time.
Let's be honest. All those people are already state patrol officers, JT.
Actually, or the DOT. State patrol officers I know were all a bunch of meatheads in high school. They just
you're probably
to get
right.
A job
state
gave
patrol,
them a gun.
State patrol, yeah. State patrol ended up meatheads. To be honest, DOT was where the hall monitors ended up. DOT, 100%.
Like Paul Bart, Mall Cop.
Yep. What are you thinking, Josh?
These are the same motherfuckers who
there it is.
Who In 2016, these brain dead twats are like all over Facebook and Twitter and the internet, writing articles, tweeting statuses, sharing memes about how Trump is going to be Hitler and how Trump is going to be a dictator and how Trump is going to be a totalitarian dictatorship regime, right? These same dumbass motherfuckers, 4 years later in 2020, the year of our Lord 2020, these same idiots are now championing stay-at-home orders from the government, and not just championing, telling on others and shaming people for not adhering to these stay-at-home orders. I just lost a Facebook friend in real life. Like, my neighbor Savannah just defriended me because about 2 hours ago, she posted a meme on Facebook that said, It said when stay-at-home orders are lifted, that doesn't mean that you should leave your home. That just means there's more hospital beds in the ICU. And I said, Savannah, 2 years ago, you shared an article comparing Trump to Hitler, and today you were championing stay-at-home orders. She defriended me. She's my neighbor. I just saw her like 2 hours ago. That is where we are in culture, to where you can't even like argue or disagree. It's absolutely crazy. It's and to me that's funny. Like if you can't laugh at people who were calling Trump Hitler 4 years ago, who are now like government lockdown, maybe there's like a
camp or something that all the people that want to stay at home, maybe he could take them to, like, if he offered like a train that they could all get on and they could get inside the train and he could take them to like a camp far away. That way they could all shelter in together and be safe. If maybe there's a way that Trump could round everybody up that wanted to avoid this plague, if he could kind of round them up, put them in a train and set them in some sort of camp where they could get together and concentrate on avoiding the plague, that would be something that would really be beneficial to them. Do you think that's something that Savannah may be interested in? Maybe we'll make it so that
there's a lot of washing. Like when you get off the train, you wash and
keep clean. Go to the showers and get clean. You know,
and you have to use your wits. And because you have to wash so much and use your wits, we could just call it Camp Washwitz. You know, and that would just make a lot of sense, right? Like, I mean,
oh my god,
it seems. Oh,
it's just the hypocrisy about this and the Kavanaugh thing, as you mentioned a minute ago. It's just, it is crazy, man. It's like I'm living in some weird like ulterior universe. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird, man. It's weird.
America was kind of founded on the idea of I'm going to do what I want, and that's kind of how we all came here. And so I'm going to do what I want, and I don't care about coronavirus because life has a death rate of roughly 100%. And so I am not going to worry about coronavirus when I could just as well get hit by a Mack truck tomorrow, which would be hilarious if that happened. You got it recorded right
here. The actual virus has a death rate of 0.1 to 0.2%. Not according to me, not according to like Fox News, or like Sean Hannity, like according to effing
the CDC.
Yes, the CDC and like, yeah, Stanford University and Harvard. Today I saw a Harvard professor, medical scientist guy, like on Fox. He's probably canceled by now. But this Indian guy was saying that we should trust the science and just open up, because it turns out that even if you get it, you're immune to it, and it's like got a really low fatality rate. And if you get it, you're immune to it. You're not going to get it again, and we should just, like, I don't know, open up. This guy from Harvard.
And look, I'll be 100% honest. I don't think we should open everything up. I think there's some things that we should be very cautious about, especially with people that are at risk and that kind of thing. I also think that there was probably a need for at least a week or two of national shutdown to get everybody's attention and say, hey, this is a real thing, and yeah, we should be very aware that this can kill you and it can kill your loved ones. You know, after that, I think we probably should have opened up a whole lot quicker than we did. I mean, we went from, hey, bend the curve in 15 days to we're on, what, day 47 now? Day 48? Which is kind of crazy. But at the end of the day, I find it fascinating how many people that call themselves Christian people, you know, are scared of death. And I don't mean like you should go running out and try to die. That's not the point. But
it's not just like, I mean, yeah, I guess you shouldn't be afraid of death and all that. It's in context, it's a virus that's probably not going to kill you, buddy. It's got a 0.1 to 0.2 fatality rate. Those aren't like right wing Alex Jones like stuff. I'm saying these are facts. Mm-hmm. That, you know what I mean? They're facts, and there's a lot of people who want this thing to last, because if it lasts and the economy completely dies, Trump's going to have a hard time getting reelected. That is what it is. And if a second wave comes, then we can have mail-in ballots and we can finally get him out of office. That's all they care about.
Yeah, basically. That's essentially what it boils down to. I want people to be honest with themselves and just say, look, if the governor of Georgia was Stacey Abrams and she reopened businesses, allowed businesses to reopen, would you still be that upset about it? Because honestly, it seems like a lot of people just don't like Brian Kemp because he's a white male Republican. Exactly. And you just can't give her the fact that you don't like him because he plays for the other team. Yeah. And look, I'm guilty of that too. Everybody's guilty of that, but at least just have an honest assessment of yourself and the way you feel about situations.
I bet Daniel Murphy wouldn't like him because he didn't like people that play for the other team.
How about Samaritan's Purse? So Samaritan's Purse is headquartered here in Boone. And for the record, before I go down this road, no one has made fun of Samaritan's Purse more than your boy right here. I make fun of them to their face, like in town. They're headquartered here in Boone. They're a huge global organization. And I know people that work there, and I make fun of them to their face because they're not allowed to like drink in public and stuff. I think that's really dumb. And they do have kind of, just in my opinion, silly views about like, you know, gay marriage or whatever. But so Samaritan's Purse post up shop in downtown New York. They set up like tents and stuff to help people, right? They get kicked out today. Either the mayor or somebody in New York media release saying publicly. So it's not like this guy on Twitter. They publicly said basically like, we don't agree with Samaritan's Purse's views on LGBTQ people, and so it's time for them to leave.
Yeah, and let's be 100% honest here. Like, Samaritan's Purse in no way discriminates against LGBTQ people.
Not at all.
LMNOPQRS, whatever. Like, you know, like, it's so weird to me that... Okay, so this is what this would be like. If I went into New York, okay, and bear with me here, but like imagine this happening. Okay, I go into New York, and New York makes a decree: no frontline workers that are Islamic are allowed to work because they don't have LGBTQ friendliness with New York. Because you realize Islam, whatever you think Christianity is to LGBTQ, Islam is like
way worse.
Way worse. Yeah, like, Chick-fil-A is like
head chopped off. Chick-fil-A is like, yeah, like, we don't donate money to those candidates. Islam's like, yeah, we chop your head off.
If we throw you off the top of a building if you're gay in America.
At worst, maybe someone says a silly word to you. Okay, at worst, if you're gay in, I don't know, Saudi Arabia, you get your head chopped off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so I mean,
we have
this
parades
is the thing.
Here. So,
but you can imagine the insanity if Cuomo came out and said, "We're not going to accept your support because you're Islamic," right? Like, people would freak out. They would call that the most racist thing that's ever existed. Like, people would be losing their minds in New York at the racism of not letting Islamic people work the front lines of the COVID thing. But instead, what you just did was you said, hey, all you Christian people that believe aren't pro-gay marriage, we're kicking you out of New York, and no one, like, bats an eye about it. It's so weird. Like, and I'm not here, like, defending the Christian, because I don't care. Like, Samaritan's Purse will be fine, and they'll go help people. That's not the thing. It's just weird in culture how we are so sensitive about one set of people and completely insensitive about an entirely different set of people that are exactly the same. You know, I mean, Christians, anti-LGBT, you know, there's a large sect of them that are anti-LMNOPQRS, you know, Islam is the exact same way, if not worse, and yet, like, you couldn't even imagine New York making a statement like that against Islam. You know, like, it would be national headlines, Bill de Blasio stepping down as mayor for making racist statement about Islam. You know, like, it's crazy. But instead, it's just kind of common practice, and it'll get an eye roll from conservatives, and everyone else will be like, yeah, whatever.
I think it's just standard fare for the way the world is today. You know, like, it's is what it is. People don't look for any nuance in any sort of situation. You know, they just see whether you're on my team or you're on the other team. You know, they don't look for anything in between. And it's what it is, man. You know.
Speaking of which, JT. Speaking of which, you and We it's time for an intervention. Josh, there's only two sides to this, JT. And if he's not going to be with us, he's against us. And Josh has gone on the Mansplain Baseball podcast and cast his allegiance as leader of the flannel brigade. I don't know what the proper term is of the lipstick legion. Josh, do you have any comment to your betrayal of Nakomination and your taking the other side here?
To what are you talking about? What?
Huh? Josh was totally not paying attention. JT was saying there's only two sides to everything, and we're not going to put up with you declaring your allegiance as the leader of the Lipstick Legion.
I didn't declare my lead. I never. Are you reading CNN again? Because I never said that.
No, you just like you're all of a sudden now in Zoom chats with all the mansplains, anything about the Zoom chat.
That was Corey. That was Corey Lester, who has no connections that I know with the mansplain girls. I just got an invite and I showed up. All right.
Yeah. Uh huh. Sure. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And then you're like, hey, I know a guy that's been in a TV show on Netflix a couple times. I just want to show you guys how cool I am. Let me invite him on. And then you wanted to show us pictures of you hanging out with your celebrity friends and other people. Oh, and no invite for us. So.
And now, ignoring
JT's response. Send an invite to Michael Kelly, but you can't send one to me. That's fine. No,
ignoring JT's current response to you, Josh is instead looking at his phone, texting the mansplain girls.
No, he's no, I'm probably not. Texting DOB to see when he can be on 755 is real.
Oh, I got you. Maybe Josh is going to leave us for Talking Chop.
If this was all like a giant Josh Brown troll move and to set up for his move to Talking Chop?
I can see it. I mean, I truly, maybe Josh has mended the bridges burned with him and Eric. And
next thing you know, we're going to get a picture. It's going to be of him and Eric and Scott zooming together and having a grand old time, and we'll just be hanging out on our own.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I'll be RB. I gotta run. Just, I'll be right back. Keep talking.
Oh. Oh, gosh.
See, what is this guy?
How do I put myself on mute?
The button that says
if we knew, we would tell you a long time ago, buddy.
You see the microphone button beside your head? You hit that button.
I'm clicking on it.
Okay. Yeah, we still hear you.
Yeah, I'm clicking. I just clicked on it 12 times.
I don't know, buddy.
Just go. Just go away. Wow. You left. Good. Fine. Wonderful.
I will tell you.
Ken, I got a little nervous when you said there was going to be an intervention. I was like, my butthole puckered a little bit.
You were expecting Mallory to come to the door with all your family.
Oh, hello.
My name is JT. Speaking of intervention, been riding a tractor this week, doing a lot of hay baling, okay? And I came to a realization that if I'm honest with myself, I had no idea what a hoochie-coochie was.
Yeah, I still don't know. I wondered that in second grade, and I'm still not sure. I think it's like, okay, like hoochie-coochie, like you're cuddling, maybe kind of kissing, making out, and so you get kind of hot and sweaty.
That's actually Incorrect.
Okay.
That is actually
incorrect. So you looked this up?
I did. I looked it up because...
That's where I always went.
I will try to hold off for a moment here and see if the brown stain...
He may never be back. He may...
He might not.
He's found somebody else that appreciates him and doesn't make fun of him like we do.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's true.
You know what?
That's true.
He's found some people, some more worshipers that won't, you know... That will look at you, Kenny, breaking out the Jameson. I like it.
Yeah,
I'd Captain like Kenny.
If I'm gonna put up with Josh, like leaving the show,
and there you go. So let's celebrate some of the old bubbly.
Yep. Second thing, and we'll get back to the hoochie coochie here in just a moment. But second thing that I realized is from the 1990s, there was I have several realizations because I put together a Spotify playlist.
Right.
With 90s jams only, okay? And in this, I realized women singers from the 90s rocked.
Yeah, they do. A lot more than, say, the mid-2000s, where they all blended together.
Yes, and a lot more than now. A lot better than now. A whole lot better than now. I mean, like, Carrie Underwood's, like, the only really... Fair.
Miranda Lambert, I would say.
I saw her play concerts.
She opened for Kenny Chesney one time, and she does a really good live show. Now, this was like 12 years ago, but she was, you know.
I like Miranda Lambert. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
But she's got this attitude. Like, here's the thing. A lot of times they don't have enough personality. They're very vanilla, and you don't really know, like, they don't show you any persona. Miranda Lambert has. Miranda Lambert is like, I ain't afraid to tell you I smoke cigarettes, and I'm kind of got a bitchy attitude, and yada yada. Like, so she's
I think the very first time I saw her was Gunpowder and Lead. She did a live concert, like, at some awards show. She did a live version of that. And I was like, huh, that's some pizzazz, you know? That's not what you expect. Yeah. But 90s country women, let me give you some of the ones that were real bangers. And for me, some of these fall, like, way up there on the all-time list, okay? Trisha Yearwood. 90s girl. All-time. Mm-hmm. She's way up there. A lot of people not a big fan of this one, but I actually kind of like Kathy Mattea. I thought she was okay. 455 Rocket. Some of her stuff's a little not top-notch. She's not as high as some others on the list. Reba McEntire, right? Like, she's covered a large span, but I think you got to give her, like, her meat and potatoes was the 90s, you know.
Was Fancy 90s, or was that, like, 89?
It was. Fancy was 90s. Nope, okay. Fancy was 90s.
Snuck it in there? Okay.
Yep, it was early 91.
Was her cover of The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia in the
90s? Or was that early 2000s? Yes.
It was, too. Nope. Okay.
It was 90s. Yep.
And, well, she had the versatility of being in movies, too. Her great role in Tremors. Which was
she did a huge expanse of, like, kind of the sassy, fancy sort of type song. And then she did, like, a kind of this ballady love song sort of thing, too, that was a lot more mainstream. So, you know, that worked for her. But now we get to some of the best. My opinion, probably the greatest female singer, I think of my lifetime, Tanya Tucker.
Tanya Tucker is a BA, man. Dude, she brings it. She don't
Patty,
play.
Here's some others. Patty Loveless.
Patty Loveless. Pam Tillis. I'm on that list.
Pam Tillis, yeah.
Pam Tillis is awesome.
Let's add some more. The Judds, right? You got Mary Chapin Carpenter. Shut Up and Kiss Me, you know? Mary Chapin was strong, too.
Passionate Kisses.
Leanne Womack.
I didn't know if you're going Rhymes or Womack with that one.
Leanne Rhymes was the very next one on the list. But Leanne Womack, way underrated. Really good country singer from the 90s. But then we got Terry Clark, Lori Morgan. Lori Morgan was strong, too. She had some good stuff. And, of course, we can't leave out Susie Bogus. Seriously,
I still can't believe that's her name though. Susie Bogus is just
Faith Hill.
You haven't said Shania.
I never even said Shania. You know, Shania to me, Shania is like what Carrie Underwood is, and that is Shania really wasn't country. If you get right down to it, like she had a few songs that were kind of country esque, but a lot of her stuff was really pop with a little twang thrown in and
definitely
a country
see
beat.
That with things that Man, I Feel Like a Woman and
yeah.
It's so or That Don't Impress Me Much. It's so over the top. It's so bubblegum.
Carrie Underwood's very much the same way. You know, a lot of Carrie Underwood stuff's not really country. There's some.
There's too much.
But a lot of it is
not. It's not stripped down enough. Like, there's too much going on. There's too much production.
Polished in production.
I love, like, I've always liked the Dixie Chicks. Because when it gets down to it, if you just gave them some guitars and let them sing, they could do it. You know what I mean? Like, they could do it. They don't need the horns and the... all the mass production that a lot of times Shania and Carrie Underwood really rely on, where it's like, I much prefer any art, not just in country, but any artist that can just sit down on a stage and on a stool with an acoustic guitar and just blow me away just by singing and playing. I appreciate that 100 times more than I would say, like, on the band side of things, like a Tim McGraw singing a song that he didn't write while he's not playing any instruments. And basically just bouncing around lip syncing.
Showing his
honestly,
butt, you know?
I'm not saying I could do that, but if you gave me 6 weeks, I could
put on
a good show. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I could perform at the CMAs and not sing and not play guitar and not look terrible if you gave me 6 weeks, you know, heads up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, I'd rather see somebody that can do something that I can't do. You know? Like, I can't pick a guitar like that and sing like that. And that's always mattered to me more. So I've always liked people that can at least, even if they're not great, at least give the attempt, you know?
Well, that's kind of like the guy that I could never remember his name from Australia. I could never remember his name. Yeah, Keith Urban. Keith Urban is very poppy, but at least you can enjoy the guitar playing. You know, it's like, oh, well, that's impressive, you know? There's some part of it that's very country, even if it's not the song, you know?
Right. But at least he's got an instrument in his hand and, you know, he's trying to do it. What I love is, like, I saw Kenny Chesney in concert, and every now and then, like, once every 5 songs, I don't know why he does this, but Kenny Chesney picks up a guitar. I don't know. Maybe he feels like he needs to prove himself. I'm not sure. He doesn't actually play that guitar. He holds it, and he may strum it, like, 5 times. And he'll throw on a C chord, and that's about it. And why does he do that? I've got no clue.
But and here's like, the thing. Kenny Chesney's actually a pretty good guitarist because I have heard him play. He just doesn't. It's so weird. He just doesn't play.
It's the strangest thing. If you're going to play guitar, play guitar. If not, then don't.
Like,
well, we can all see that you're not playing that thing.
Right. It's like he's holding it as a prop. It's literally
right,
a prop.
Right. But if you like having the prop, just have it all the time. And
that's
just,
one
just
of the
pretend
things,
you're playing it and don't even plug it in, and we won't know.
Well, I mean, that's George Strait, if you get right down to it. Yeah. Like, George Strait, he could play guitar, but, like, nobody watches him for the guitar. The guitar is just part of the prop of looking like George
Alan
Strait,
Jackson's
you know?
The same
like,
way. You watch his CMA performance of Alan Jackson. He, you know, I mean, the guitar is there, but it,
Garth
I think it's just
was
he's
that way. I mean,
And
they can. I'm not even saying these people can't play. Some of them play really well. They just don't. Like, that's not what they're doing on stage most of the time.
Right.
Like Garth, half the time he's flipping the guitar behind his back and wearing it like a backpack, you know?
Yeah,
like
he's just being a goofball. He is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if you watch Garth's Vegas shows, he had the show and they did it on CBS a couple years ago. And it was kind of cool because he just did basically he just kind of talked through his life and then did a medley of different cover songs. And it was really cool because it wasn't just Garth songs. It was him playing some of his favorite stuff throughout his life from growing up and
It was really cool.
And it was just a one-man show. And you're like, okay, this guy's actually talented. Like, he's not just some fat dude in, like, a checkerboard button-down and tight black jeans that can pay to have some guy drop him in off a harness and he'll, you know, drop from the rafters onto the stage. Like, you know, they can actually play music. And that's always fun to see.
I mean, that's part of why I like Eric Church. I know Josh Bash is on him. But Eric can play the guitar. He's a
good
guitarist.
Puts on a great show,
He puts on a fantastic show, and like Josh laughs at him for the glasses and all the pretentious stuff or whatever. But like
that's been
when you're when you're doing country, like, you have there, you are a character. That's what you are. Like George Strait is not George Strait. He's George Strait, the country singer. Like,
have you seen George Strait
like
without a cowboy hat on? He looks like a different person. It is weird.
Yeah.
Like, if he's wearing just a ball cap, it's another person. You're like, who's this?
Right, exactly. It's like Glenn Campbell or any of the old country guys. Like, you take them off stage, a lot of those guys weren't the least bit country. They were, like, the biggest city guys. They were rocking country drugs and doing all kinds of stuff.
Country
you know,
music
like,
is the most pretentious style of music there's ever been. Ever.
Yeah. Glenn Campbell, like a rhinestone cowboy. That
have you seen a nudie suit? How ridiculous is a nudie suit? This is the dumbest thing ever. Like, if Josh Brown showed up wearing a nudie suit, we'd laugh him off the face of the earth.
I would not be shocked, to be honest.
I'd like to have one in the closet, to be honest with you, but it's the most ridiculous looking thing ever. I mean, you make fun of Eric Church's dark glasses, but look at Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash was the most, like, he got that he is an image, and he did everything he could to promote that image, even writing a song about how he promotes his image.
Yeah, you he's know, the man in black. Yeah.
Man in black, yeah. I mean, so he understood, like, hey, this is how I'm going to look in public. This is my persona. I mean, it's everybody's kind of, what, is there any reason for George Strait or Alan Jackson to wear a cowboy hat? No, they're not ranching in West Texas. There's no particular reason they should be wearing a cowboy hat, but they do, and we just take it as is because that's just the way it is. Josh, how was that dump you took?
Oh, it was really good. I'm back.
Feel better? All right, good. So Josh, while you were gone, we have been delving into the depths of country music. And, one of the things that I had to come to the brutal realization this week as I was riding the tractor baling hay, and that was this, that prior to me looking it up, I had no idea what a hoochie coochie was. Do you know what a hoochie coochie is? JT did not.
So I always thought it was just something that Alan Jackson made up in that song. It's hotter than a hoochie coochie. I didn't know it was a real thing.
It is a real thing. A hoochie coochie is a really old term going back to 1890 about a sexualized dance performed by carnival sideshows. A hoochie coocher was a hoochie coochie dancer. And if you guys have never thought about it, there's actually, you know, James Brown had the hoochie coochie, was known as the hoochie coochie man.
I did not know that. Never knew that.
I think it was James Brown. Pretty sure it was. I'll look it up to be sure. But it's a dance that was apparently basically like dirty dancing way back in the day. Oh, Hoochie Coochie Man was an Allman Brothers song. Muddy Waters did it originally, Hoochie Coochie Man, from way back. But, I mean, obviously, they were implying a sexualness to it, for sure. Like, there's an implied Hoochie Coochie was not a dance man. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was an implication of something else. But he couldn't get away with it. I don't think Alan Jackson could have got away with saying it if it didn't have some other meaning. So that's the reason I had to look it up. And I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Makes sense.
Hmm.
Do you guys feel more informed now? Here's my next. I made a lot of observations on the tractor, Josh, about 90s country. One was that, and me and JT have already gone through all the names here, but that is that 90s country female singers were far superior to pretty much any other generation of female singers in country music.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on this a little bit before, right? Last week or the week before? Yeah. Because now you have, I mean, Carrie Underwood and like two other people.
Yeah.
And they suck.
We were talking about that, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. I think for me, like Patti Loveless was the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya Tucker.
We went through all the names. Yeah, we went through the whole list.
I don't like Faith Hill. I think Faith Hill kind of sucked. Martina McBride was amazing.
Oh, we left Martina off. Trish Yearwood. Forgot about her. We talked about Trisha. Yeah. Lori Morgan. Bogus,
Lori Morgan.
Yeah, I called her bogus, but yeah. Leanne Womack, Leanne Rimes.
Leanne Womack. Oh my God.
Yeah. Leanne Womack was sneaky good. Like. Mm-hmm. A lot better than I think people gave her credit for. So here's the other part, and I think JT took a bathroom break right quick, but I'll ask you. This was my ultimate conclusion, Josh. 90s country, the most... Oh, JT's back. I'll ask. What? 1990s yes. country, JT, okay. Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is vastly underrated. Like, when you think of 90s country, I think of, like, the superstars as being, like, George Strait, Garth Brooks. I even think a little bit like Clint Black at that time to me was, like, way up there. You know, like, I always thought George Strait and Clint Black were kind of on the same level. And then as I got older, I was like, I wonder why I ever thought that. But I think it was just, like, the 90s kind of had that vibe. Vince Gill was, like, way up there, you know, like, on the mountain of country music greatness. Who else would you guys put there? Because I want to see if you name this guy that I'm thinking of.
I would say, well, Vince Gill is highly underrated just from musicianship standpoint. And I like Clint Black a lot. No, he's not George Strait.
Vince Gill's music kind of sucked. I'm not saying
it's my cup of tea. I'm just saying he's
no, no, right. Like, did you say he's Vince amazing Gill's artist?
Kind of sucked.
It did. Tell me.
What are you talking about?
Tell me some. Okay. Go more than five deep on really good Vince Gill songs.
Can we count when he was the frontman of Pure Prairie League?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So Go Rest High on This Mountain, obviously, that's kind of low hanging fruit. When I Call Your Name.
Yep.
One More Last Chance.
Whenever you. Yep. Yeah. Give me just one more last chance.
Ten. Before you set me.
Whenever you come.
What's the other one? Don't Let Our Love Start Slipping Away.
Don't let our love start slipping away. Yeah, that one.
So you're at four right now.
One More Last Chance. Did you write that one down?
I did. Yep.
What about I've been trying to get over you. My favorite Vince Gill song, I don't know if this one did very well, but it's my favorite Vince Gill song ever, is House of Pocket Full of Gold.
That's favorite. Going more than five deep on Vince Gill, you get into some stuff and you're like, it's a good song. I don't know if I consider it like a great song. You know, like,
my thing okay. with Vince Gill is a lack of bangers. High on ballads. High on ballads. Great voice. Great musicianship as far as handling the guitar.
Yeah.
Not a lot of bangers. Give me more of a dust on the bottle kind of like, so I'm just going to rock for 3 minutes. Amy, Pure Prairie League's Amy is freaking fantastic.
Now, 40, you know, Mount Rushmore of the 90s, you got to put up Brooks and Dunn, of course. Yeah. Like, I think they're way up there. But I'll tell you the one guy that I think for the 1990s surpasses every name that I've put down, if you really give him credit. John Michael Montgomery.
Yeah, JMM's got some fantastic bangers. He's got a good mix, too.
So I don't disagree. I think John Michael is actually underrated, but I just think that it's a tragedy that you're on this podcast and you're going to poo-poo on Vince Gill.
I didn't poo-poo on Vince Gill. I said he's not like on the Mount Rushmore.
You're going to put John Michael Montgomery on your Rushmore over Vince Gill?
Yes, I am.
I don't even know what to say about that. I'll let the listeners judge you all week on Twitter.
Well, look, okay.
That's
the worst
thing I've ever heard.
Okay, tell me. Let's start naming Vince Gill songs. You tell me. Let's start naming John Michael Montgomery songs, and you guys tell me if they're banging and top tier or not. I Can Love You Like That.
Not banging.
It's a top tier.
Oh, that's a banging.
Couple Skate Only.
Yes, I Can Love You Like That. What about I Love the Way You Love Me?
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Sold?
That's a banger. Right? Yeah. That's a banger.
Right?
Totally.
Be My Baby Tonight.
If I Ask You, Would You Wanna Be My Baby Tonight?
Mm. Right? I Swear.
Not a banger.
Okay.
No.
Oh, I Swear was a banger. Oh, you are too young, Josh
really?
Brown. What?
No, I'm not.
How
were
do you,
you
not?
Did you like the All for One version?
I'm older than you. I was all there when it was going on.
Every
very aware
girl
of that song.
Loved that song. That song played,
I'm not a girl,
man.
I'm not sure if you know that.
Yeah, but you still have
we're not
the
sure
ability
we know
to
that,
have
yeah.
some empathy. Okay. Life's a Dance.
Life's a Dance, a banger. I'll give you that one. That might be his best one, actually.
Yeah, Cover You in Kisses.
No. No.
What?
I won't go with that one either.
No.
How was I to know?
You're reaching. You're reaching.
No, I'm not. Yeah, all of these are good songs.
They're good songs, but they're not like, you can't put them up against anything Vince Gill's ever done.
How old were you guys?
What are you talking about? All those songs right there beat Vince Gill stuff.
Okay. Honest question. I need to know this about John Michael Montgomery. How old were you guys when you realized that John Michael Montgomery and Montgomery Gentry were brothers?
Yeah.
I was probably in the college. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
They're That's brothers? Because they don't look alike at all.
Not at
you
all.
You never see them together. No. Yeah. I was like, the bald guy, the ugly dude from Montgomery Gentry and John Michael Montgomery
right.
are from the same family.
Yeah. So look, I was being a little inflammatory. Garth Brooks obviously has better songs than any of those. I mean,
that's not true.
Garth's discography is like, yeah, Garth has Brooks number one 90s
true,
singer.
True story.
Time.
I don't know that you guys will know this. I won't.
Does
he write anything?
Has
he written any of his stuff?
I don't know.
He's not like a George Strait. George Strait doesn't write anything.
Not since his early album.
Yeah, yeah. I think Garth has written some stuff and is like, co-written some stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but a lot of his big hits, like the dance, like he didn't write.
Yeah.
So a lot of his big stuff he didn't write, but he does.
I knew
write.
That George Strait didn't, just because when I was in high school, I had a couple of his albums and kind of thumbed through it. I'm like, he didn't write any of this. What the hell?
Yeah.
But I was appreciating the fact that George Strait was like, look, you buy my CD, and I'm gonna give you like 10 songs, 35 minutes worth of solid country radio. Everything is going to be perfect. Like, it's going to be,
they're all going to be number ones. Yep. They're all going to be number one on the chart.
He's going to make radio hits. They're all going to be nice and shiny, and that's what he does. He has a shiny belt buckle and a perfect hat, and his jeans are perfect, and that's
Josh, are you,
what he is.
Are you really trying to tell me that Vince Gill was better than Garth Brooks?
I thought that was like common knowledge. This should not be news.
In the Vince 90s? Gill, you well, literally couldn't not, name more than five songs. Like, well, Garth Brooks, you could name me 30 songs that were
time
top
out,
to
time arch. Out. Chill out. Don't get an aneurysm. Vince Gill's last number one hit, I think, was like 92. So, really, Vince Gill's heyday was like late 80s, early 90s. I mean, I think Tripp, my buddy on the radio, he has like a 90s at news show, and he said that the other day. He was like, I think his last number one hit was 92. So,
was it that? So, yeah. What was the song he did with Reba?
Oh,
there was a song that Vince Gill did with Reba, and in the music video, he was dressed as like a Navy, like in the Navy, and there was a white, you know, like he was in white military dress. Maybe this is a fever dream. I don't know, but I could swear when I was a kid,
but I mean,
saw his music video.
If you're gonna ask me like who had more badass songs in the 90s, it's Garth Brooks, okay? But if you're gonna ask me who I think the better, more badass singer and has a better catalog, yeah, I'm going to go with Vince Gill because I have ears.
Why? Like,
I can't even take you seriously right now, Ken Hendricks. I don't even know what to say.
So your friend is wrong, Josh. I'm just going to call it like I see
what
it.
Was his
Vince
last?
Gill had two. Vince Gill had two albums in the 80s, one of which was 89.
Well, maybe most of his hits that I was referencing a minute ago were never actually number ones.
Vince Gill does not have
possible.
That many.
You know what I mean?
Vince Gill did not have that many radio hits.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
to me,
that's what I'm
lot,
getting
me,
at. Is
my,
like,
in my head, he's got a shit ton of hits, but maybe they all weren't, you know, top.
Not
four,
on the
know.
Radio. Yeah, you're right. Not on the top 40 radio. Vince Gill was not.
And this is the thing about Vince Gill. Vince Gill is kind of like Carrie Underwood to me, and in the sense of Vince Gill to me. No, a lot of his ballad stuff to me. Now, there's some of it that very much is. But a lot of his ballad stuff doesn't feel super country after a certain point. Now, like, Go Rest High on That Mountain, obviously it feels like a gospel song if you listen to it. You know, like, I'm not saying all of his music. But some of his stuff, it starts feeling very, what's the term I'm looking for? What was the chick that, crap, I can't think of her name. The black girl that sang the Whitney Houston. Like, Vince Gill kind of almost falls in that sort of like Whitney Houston sort of pop, super amazing vocals, but I don't think of him as like crazy country on a lot of his songs. Now, some of them he's very country. I'm not saying like everything he ever made, but I don't know. A lot of his ballads don't feel country to me.
The coolest thing I know about Vince Gill is that He went to Belmont University, which is where Brad Paisley went to school. I think a couple other guys went. College in Nashville. And he is a big supporter of Belmont University, the Belmont Bruins basketball team. They've made the tournament a couple times.
Yeah.
And I went to North Florida, and we were in the Atlantic Sun with Belmont. And Atlantic Sun home basketball games have a rough average attendance of like 800 people. But if you go to a game at Belmont in flannels and jeans, and behind the booth would be Vince Gill just standing there, just sitting down like an average guy, just sitting there.
That's hilarious.
You know, freaking Vince Gill loves Belmont basketball.
If we're talking about like on an influence level, that's a totally different thing, because I think Vince Gill's probably had as much influence as any artist ever. Well, goodbye, JT. I don't know. He got bumped. As any artist ever in country music history, you know, especially on other singers, but his own discography, I'm not as amazed by. Just saying. I'm probably going to get killed for that.
You probably will. You should.
Hey, Josh, mm-hmm. What should people do if they would like to support the show?
If you'd like to support the show, that's a good question, Kenny.
Well, since you don't know, let's ask our good buddy, voiceover guy, to explain to the listeners what they could expect of the show.
Take it from here, voiceover guy.
Want to support the nation's leading replacement-level podcast? Put your money where your mouth is, fellow degenerates. And visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For only $5 a month, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes episodes and patron-exclusive podcasts. And you'll be supporting your favorite knuckleheads. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to Nakahoma Nation. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Jeff. And Brinley.
Thanks for listening to Nakahoma Nation, the nation's leading replacement-level ill-informed podcast. If you'd like more information, you can check out NakahomaNation.com. You can follow them on Twitter at NakahomaNTN, or you can find Nakahoma Nation on Facebook. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, please visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. Special thanks to Nakahoma Nation spiritual advisor John D. Howard, research assistant Braves Options Guy, and Nakahoma Nation intern Caleb Payne. Have a great week. Call your mom, stay hydrated, and keep it between the ditches, bitches.